Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
It's time to wake on up, wake up with a nice cup of Joe.
What's up, Joe, bro?
Featuring Joe Spadoni.
He's an Italian.
And Joe, the butcher boy Shasky.
I am slippery.
Oh!
The best part of waking up is morning roast in your cup.
It is the morning roast, man, on 95.7 The Game.
Hey, I'm Ludman. I'm going to be at Freedman's and Plyce's this Saturday with Mark Grandy.
Hey, he's here. It is Sam Lovman in for Joe Shasky. Yeah, let's go. Oh, welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. It is the morning roast. No Shasky. He's on a stretch four, as Dan Dibley would say. But Joe Spadoni is here. We're locking it down. We've got a lot to get into today. We've got Steve Kerr joining Willard and Dibs yesterday. Some very, very interesting thoughts. And if you've missed any of that interview, I urge you to find it on YouTube or the free Odyssey app. By the way, YouTube is sponsored by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low-rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer. Welcome in, all you lovely people just getting off work, getting ready for work, getting ready for this long weekend. Maybe you took a stretch four as well. Maybe you're going to Bottle Rock out in Napa this weekend. Maybe you're watching the NBA action. It's got Knicks Pacers tonight as the Oklahoma City go up 2-0 on the Minnesota Timberwolves, Sam. That series is looking like it's going to go OKC's way because in the history of the NBA, just look this up, in the history, since 1956, I should say, so that history, only 34 out of 463 series where a team was down 2-0 have been won by the team trailing. So 7.3% success rate when down 0-2 in the playoffs. Can we turn on his mic, please, Carter? We got it?
There we go.
That's a flag on the play.
He's in the three seed. I mean, come on.
Well, that used to be the chair until everyone shifted over to that one that's to the left of me. To the left, to the left.
I'm a standard bearer. I stay in the normal B chair, exactly.
There you go. Hey, Sam, how you doing?
I'm doing good today, man. Oh, yeah. You know what?
Right.
I'll be honest. Feel a little jealous this morning.
Why?
So I didn't watch really any basketball last night, but I did have that.
You didn't miss much.
I did have that Panthers-Hurricanes game on last night. I'm sorry, Florida does not deserve the amount of hockey success they've had over the last few years. It's just, it makes me really jealous seeing that the Panthers are basically about to go to a third Stanley Cup, and here we are out here in the Bay Area, all us Sharks fans clinging to that one Stanley Cup appearance that we had in 2016 that took place in the shadow of the Warriors' 73-win season, and it's just so unfair. And so I'm a little jealous about that
right now. So that's what we're starting with, Florida Panthers and
It's only 6:09. We got a lot of show left.
Okay, no, sure.
Right now.
Hey. There's no wrong answers today. How about that? And we would love your participation. 888-957-9570. Same number to call or text. And again, we have so much to get into. Steve Kerr had some really interesting thoughts. Brock Purdy also joining Willard and Dibs yesterday. Wow, look at them.
It's a good get for them.
Lucas Alexander, director of sports and producer of Willard and Dibs. Sam, I don't know, man. No, are y'all notice right now?
He did his one bit of producing for the week. Good for him.
That's his one thing.
That's
right
his
there.
One thing. Yep.
So they had Brock
Purdy. That's why he's our quarter one game changer.
That is true. We have an ad about that. Shout out Lucas Alexander.
Mm-hmm.
So we have Steve Kerr, who was on TK. Now he was on with us. And let's just dive right into it. because the big talking point after the Warriors season ended, and I don't think we've really had an opportunity, at least Shasky and I, and Sam, you and I can do this today, to really, you know, take a deep breath and reflect on what took place in this Warriors season, specifically in the postseason when it came to Jimmy Butler, Steph's injury, Jonathan Kuminga, all of it. I know we talked about it last week on Friday with Bonte, kind of a post-mortem, but it's been breathing a little bit now, and we could all take a step back. And I do believe what's got Warriors fans most frustrated right now, not only the JK stuff, because when he came in, when Steph got hurt and he actually got legit minutes and legit run, he showed why he's a great scorer, a great ISO scorer. Within the flow of the offense, not really, but he can get his, and that's awesome. And he showed his athletic prowess. He showed on defense, when he's trying, he could be very, very disruptive, and how he could potentially, again, potentially be that player we all think he can be on a potential, you know, I don't know if he's a top three player on a team four, on a championship squad. But that baked into it, the Steph injury, and then the Jimmy Butler aspect in all of it, Sam, I do believe we're a little down on Jimmy right now as a fan base because Steph was scheduled, as all reports indicate, and they'll tell you, he was scheduled to come back in that Game 6. Had Steph been ruled out, Sam, that entire Western Conference semifinals, if they just said he's not going to come back against the T-Wolves, I don't think people would be as disappointed right now. It's the fact that the Warriors and Steph and everyone gave you a little bit of hope. It's the worst thing you could give a fan base.
You're teasing us, yeah.
You're teasing us. Oh, you just need to win one game. Just one. And then we get Steph back. And Jimmy could not provide that, Sam. And I think a lot of people, and listen, I don't think it's all on Jimmy. It's a team game. But he's, I think, getting the brunt of all that frustration from Warriors fans. Because if he just won one, maybe things change. And as we're seeing right now, Minnesota clearly looks overmatched against the Oklahoma City Thunder. And maybe, just maybe, the Warriors would have matched up better against him. I guess we'll never know. But
yeah,
let's talk about all the stuff that went down these last few weeks.
Yeah, no, you make a good point. There is a level of what if that Warrior fans are going to have to noodle with all summer long here. You bring up Game 6, but that's a very valid what if Steph had came back in Game 6 at home. They would have had 4 days to get ready for that game. And, you know, I would have taken the Warriors in that Game 6 any day of the week. You give this team 4 days to prepare for that Timberwolves team with Steph coming back. But that's also assuming that Steph hits the ground running coming back, which with that bum hamstring, you know, you never really know. And then, of course, if you win Game 6, you still have to make it happen in Game 7. So I understand that what if. The bigger what if for me is just if he hadn't gotten injured at all in Game 1. In the 14 minutes that he played in that game, we saw it, Spadoni. The Timberwolves had no shot beating the Warriors if Steph was playing. And I don't think that's a loser mentality to say that. It's the ultimate, you know, looking into the multiverse, all, you know, Doctor Strange, 14 million outcomes. The one where Steph stays healthy, you know, that's the one where the Warriors win. As opposed to the Jimmy Butler part of it, I mean, I think there's a big expectation that if Steph is not available, that Jimmy could be that guy who could rise up and carry this team for at least one game, maybe two, something like that. And I think the frustration with Warrior fans is he did not do that. There is this expectation that this legend of playoff Jimmy, and he talked about kind of living up to that moniker during the postseason run there, and he just didn't do it. He didn't be the guy that Warrior fans envisioned him to be. Now, whether that was wrong of Warrior fans to have that kind of expectation, we can get into that. But yeah, the most frustrating aspect of this season is there is a lot of what could have been that we're never going to know. And it's that lack of closure, I guess, in that sense, that is going to eat at Warrior fans for the next few months here. And it sucks.
888-957-9570 is the number. And we are coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios. Laughing Monk, righteously brewed here in San Francisco. And I'm sure Laughing Monk is going to be popping this weekend. It is Memorial Day weekend. So if you're on the road right now and you're going to Lake Tahoe, you're traveling wherever, you're going down to L.A., San Diego, what doesn't matter. Or if you're staying here and you know what, you took the day off. We appreciate your participation as well. And thank you so much for listening. We have Bonte Hill joining us in studio 9 o'clock for the entire hour. That's courtesy of the River Islands guest line.
As I'm all guests, excited about Bonte.
Thank you. Me too. As all guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line, is it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop. So let's play some of the sound. We talked about it.
What?
Steve Kerr on with Willard and Dibbs yesterday, and you talked about Jimmy Butler there, but I'm more curious about one Jonathan Kuminga in his future. We had Anthony Slater on last week, Sam. Our 95.7 The Game Warriors Insider covers the team for The Athletic, does a hell of a job. And he did say there's a scenario where game one, regular season next year, Kuminga's on this roster, which sounds insane given everything that's taken place. Why would Kuminga want to stay here? Is it in his best interest? Is it the team's best interest? What the hell's going on with Jonathan Kuminga?
Do you believe that? Before we play in the sound, do you believe that there's a chance?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. I do believe there's a chance. There's always a chance, right? Mm-hmm. If you're giving me a percentage-wise, like 25% chance that it's coming back.
Yeah, thanks, Tony. I think Tony hit the nail on the head.
25% I'd give it.
Hey, as the great philosopher Kevin Garnett once said, anything is possible.
Thank you. And then Jason Tatum also said it, too.
Well, he just said we did it. So.
Oh, is that what he said?
Stop it!
He copied everything. I'm just
so when Kuminga returns, then we could say we did it.
There you go.
What are they going to say now?
Well, no, he'll say we did it, Joe.
We did it. There you go. We did it, Joe. That's a good callback.
Here is Steve Kerr yesterday on with Willard and Dibbs on having a different point of view with Kuminga's style and play in regards to the Golden State Warriors.
I don't think there's a disagreement. I think that there is maybe a different view, you know, from his perspective and what he's comfortable doing. He's obviously a natural scorer. You saw that in the Minnesota series when he got his opportunity. He scored really well, and that's what he's most comfortable doing. But with our team and the way we're built, and with Steph and Jimmy, you know, they're going to dominate the ball. What we need from that spot is rebounding, and we need the passing, the connection, and yes, we need the scoring, but it has to come within the context of what we're really good at and what we, you know, we're really great at for the last 2 months, with Jimmy and Steph. So I think, I said it to Tim yesterday. I mean, young players take some time sometimes to figure out, you know, who they are and what kind of player they are and what their role is. And it's not always easy. And he, as I said, JK's 22. And I think there's plenty of growth ahead, but it's never an easy road when you're sort of going down a path like this.
So that was Steve Kerr on yesterday, and he had really good thoughts. Again, if you missed any of that interview, you can find it in its entirety on YouTube or the Odyssey app. But that's just what we always go back to. And if we've gotten to the point 4 years in already about him.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country. And the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
we've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Nerds. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Trying to fit into this offense and play their style, and he still hasn't been able to do that. I just don't think it's going to happen as soon as everyone wants it to happen, especially in this 2-year window, which we all agree it's a 2-year window. Steph's contract's up, Draymond's contract up, Jimmy's contract up.
Potentially Kerr's contract.
Potentially
as well.
Steve Kerr. We'll see. Like, the more and more you hear from the head coach, from the players, from Jonathan Kuminga, I have a very hard time seeing him come back. And why would he want to come back at this point? Is there, like, if you're a Warriors fan, can you pitch why J.K. should want to come back here?
Sell J.K. on coming back.
Or is it? Are people so like, oh, J.K. should be honored to play on this team with the likes of Jimmy Butler, Draymond Green, Steph Curry? Well, I think two things can be equally true, right, Sam?
Like, yeah, it's. I think, listen to what kind of Kerr said there, and I want to get into what he said on the Tim Kawakami podcast as well, because he said one thing on the TK show, we'll play that in a little bit, about kind of JK fitting into the puzzle, and it almost kind of seemed like yesterday on Willard and Dibbs, Kerr was kind of, I don't want to say walking that back, but kind of going against that a little bit, trying to leave open the possibility that, you know, the puzzle piece that is Jonathan Kuminga does fit in with this team. It seems here that there's a clash in terms of just what each side wants here. You know, like, Jonathan Kuminga clearly sees him as ABC. Steve Kerr sees him as XYZ. You know, JK wants to be the primary scorer. He wants to be the dude, which is understandable. When you're a top 7 pick and you have, you know, talent of his caliber, you're going to see yourself as a guy who can take over games and be the centerpiece of a team. But simply put, though, that's not what the Warriors want from him right now. They want him to be basically a complementary piece. They want him to be not a Robin. They want him to be just like a side dish, so to speak, to what Steph, Jimmy, and Draymond are going to bring. They want him to be that rebounder. They want him to be able to cut to the rim and get those dunks. They don't want him to be that primary ball-handling scorer that he's kind of angling to be here, because that role is already taken. So there's this clash in terms there of you know, the ideal role for Kuminga, and it's more a matter of, does Kuminga want to be here? Does Kuminga want to fall into the role that the Warriors are clearly trying to work out for him? Because I've always kind of wondered, like, is this divide that we're seeing here, is this more on Kuminga, or is this more on Kerr and the coaching staff for not developing Kuminga? But in most cases, Spadoni, and this is, you know, what's really hard for sports talk, is when it is a blend of the two. And, you know, I do think it is a level of, this team has tried to develop Kuminga. This coaching staff has tried to develop him, you know, a lot over these last 4 years, but they tried to develop him for a certain role that he does not really want to fit into. And that's where it becomes kind of, the blame falls on both sides. One side's not really developing him for the correct role. The other side isn't really accepting the role that he should be developed for. And then you have this whole little conundrum here, this Kuminga conundrum here at the end of the year, where we're wondering what exactly his future is.
Let me ask you a question.
Let me give you an answer.
How would you rank the best scorers on the Warriors currently? Give me who you think. Give me your top 5 scorers in order.
My number one scorer on the Warriors, it's going to be a controversial one, but I'm going to go with
Key.
Steph.
Oh, okay.
Steph is my number one. Is that okay? Is that agreeable?
Sure.
Steph, number one?
That's allowable.
Number two scorer on the Warriors, it's probably Jimmy Butler.
Okay.
I think right now it's probably Jimmy Butler. Okay. All right. The third scorer, you know, a lot of people probably want to go Kuminga, but my guess is the Warriors probably see Podziemski as that third. I know.
That's a
problem. I know. So Brandon Podziemski is probably viewed as the third scorer on this team, which I know, yikes. And then probably Kuminga, but it depends which Kuminga are you looking for. Is it the Kuminga from, you know, the first part of the season when he was averaging 16 a game? That looked like he could be the third scorer on this team. Or is it the Kuminga who was, you know, averaging 16 minutes a game towards the end of the season who did not look like he's a third scorer. So Pods, JK, they're kind of noodling around that 3-4 spot there. And then I think after that, you're getting into the Moses Moody territory. Or if you really want to go crazy, you can, you know, bring up Quentin Post. I'm not going to do that, but I'm not going to stop other people if they want to go down that
road. By the way, Moses Moody having surgery on his thumb where he tore a UCL?
A UCL, yeah, and his right thumb. Yeah. So that's why he couldn't shoot. His thumb was busted.
Did we find out when that happened or occurred? I didn't see it in the article. So they didn't say if it happened in the playoffs, before the playoffs.
Could look at the game logs.
Yeah, that's a good point. But that's also kind of a cop-out. I would like to know when that happened.
Yeah.
Like if I could, because sure,
that sounds like an Anthony Slater question.
And I'm not saying Moody's using this as an excuse for his performances because he hasn't spoken to it. But I would like to know: did that happen in the first round? Did it happen in the second round? Did it happen before the season, the regular season was over? So,
listen, in terms of that, like, and I know we're getting up against it here, but like, the thumb on your shooting hand's pretty important when it comes to shooting the ball. I mean, we saw how it threw off the greatest shooter of all time and Stephen Curry. So. Listen, I know we don't like to use injuries as an excuse, but when a digit as important as your thumb is compromised on a hand as important as your shooting hand, yeah, there's going to be some fallout there that's going to affect your shooting stroke, especially when it's happening in the most important games of the year. So that's incredibly unfortunate that happened there for Moses Moody because, you know, when he was inserted in that starting lineup with Steph, Jimmy, Dre, and the rest of them, I mean, that lineup was cooking at the end of the year. You were feeling really good with that starting five. And that's, again, you talk about the frustrations of this Warriors playoff exit. Part of that is just the absence of Moses Moody after the great finish he had to the season. You're thinking the Warriors found something special here in terms of a role player. And then all of a sudden, you know, when the world needed him most, he was gone.
Thank you. Vanished, please. Come on. We got to go to the Avatar
vanished,
route.
Sorry.
It's all right. No, it's okay. We're doing all the, we'll do a lot of Star Wars references, I'm sure. Shout out Andor.
Oh, yeah, we got to have an Andor conversation.
But you're talking about Moses Moody. Carter's not a believer. Moses Moody, I wouldn't say great or special. He was really solid to good at times, and he was consistent in that starting rotation until he wasn't. And I'm not going to sit here and act like I was shocked by him kind of fading into the playoffs. And I know we're up against it. We'll get to this on the other side. But I threw out that Jonathan Kuminga question, and that wasn't really a JK question, but ranking the Warriors' scores in order because I do believe this team is not in a position to just move off of scoring. Just because you don't like his type of scoring doesn't mean you're not going to miss him if he is gone. And replacing a guy like that is easier said than done. So I'm very curious if they do replace him with what? Well, with Giannis maybe. Okay, well, that's a pie-in-the-sky stuff. We can get to that if we want. But Giannis seems very far-fetched at the moment. Let's talk realism right now as we go art and realism.
Kevin Durant. Oh, realism, sorry.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, you had your chance, and KD said no. So there's that. We'll get to some of your calls on the other side. I see some people want to talk JK. We'll do that. Bonte Hill in studio, 9 o'clock for the entire hour, courtesy of the River Islands guest line. Warriors pre- and post-game host for NBC Sports, and also the Giants, as of late, who are starting a road trip today in Washington, the nation's capital. That's what's coming up with the game, brought to you by Crystal Geyser, Alpine Spring Water. Sac States.
Indiana's not a state school.
Why do you think I'm not sticking up for you guys? I go first.
Oh, I
am the people's person here.
I see.
All right. The people's host. Same with Bonte, SF State legend.
All right.
9 o'clock in studio.
Okay.
Come on, dude.
All right.
Get after it. By the way.
Guys, by the way, I have to say, someone in the chat said Bonte won CCSF Alumni of the Year.
So, boy, Bonte Hill's in the chat right now?
I don't know what that means. But thank you, Zach, for that. Saturday, June 7th, by the way. Saturday, June 7th is Pride Day, and the Giants play the Atlanta Braves at Oracle Park. The first 15,000 guests receive a Pride bucket hat, and your chance to win a four-pack to that game will be today in between 7:30 and 8:30 right here on the Morning Roast. And it's going to be courtesy of Gilead. And as always, you can get your tickets at sfgiants.com. I have the sounder here. Don't worry. I got it right here. This is what you're going to be listening for between 7:30 and 8:30. It's actually the Jung Hoo Lee theme song. There you go. So we're not going to play the entire thing because it has to be just a sounder. But you'll hear that between 7:30 and 8:30. You're going to call the contest line. I'll give out that number then. You're going to be caller number 5. And have a chance to win a four-pack of tickets to that Saturday, June 7th game between the Giants and Braves. In the meantime, we are talking Dubs, Jonathan Kuminga, Steve Kerr talking to Willard and Dibbs yesterday. There's a lot to get to, plus Brock Purdy. He spoke to them yesterday. We'll get into that. We'll get into what Jed York had to say in regards to the owners' meetings, the tush push, the Eagles' ownership. Is the rivalry back? We got so much on the plate today. So much so that Carter, in between the breaks, our producer, he's doing a great job. He comes in. He's like, "Hey, guys, Sam, what are you guys okay?" I was like, "Wait, what's going on? You guys played sound in the first segment. You guys struggling?
I am shook.
Yeah, usually you don't play sound. Like, that's a kiss of death right there." I was like, you guys struggling for content? No. We have so much Steve Kerr sound that I have to like space these things out because all these cuts are pretty long.
Mm-hmm.
And also they're all really important. It just speaks to the quality and depth as a station and as a producer, as yourself, Carter and Zach, and you guys cutting all this great sound. I want to play it all because far too often we go through a show, Sam, and it's like, I didn't play any of this great sound that you guys all worked very hard to get.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to set the tone early of some of these sounds and bites. And you know what? We're going to play another one here in a second, Sam.
Let's go.
But we're talking about JK. We're talking about Steve Kerr, Jimmy Butler, and just frustrations abound right now, which I think is a little short-sighted, to be honest. This is a successful season. I know people don't want to say it was because of how it ended. Given where you were at, this was a successful season. Steph Curry said it. He never said championship or bust. Steve Kerr never uttered the word championship at the start of the season. Draymond Green didn't say championship until they made the trade.
Until he did.
He was wrong. Until he did. But the start of the season was what? Steph said, I just want to play in what? Meaningful basketball games. Well, he played in a bunch of those, did he not?
No, they did. Well, he didn't play in the last four, but to your point, I see what you're
saying. I said a bunch.
At. Yeah, if that's the definition of what we're, defining as a successful season, yes. And the Warriors did indeed have a successful season. I think Steve Kerr said in his end of the year presser, they accomplished a lot this year. And to that degree, yes, they did. I mean, this is a team coming into the season. You weren't really sure what you were going to get. I mean, they were, life was like a box of chocolates.
Thanks, Forrest.
They were the 10 seed last year. And again, when they're 25 and 26 midway through the year and they're looking like they're going to be another 10 seed, yeah, making it to the second round does feel like an accomplishment, but that just kind of brings me back to like, what is the ultimate goal here? If that ultimate goal is, as Steve Kerr and Steph Curry has said, just to play meaningful games, then congratulations, we accomplished it. If the goal is a little bit more, to give Steph a ring for the thumb, then yeah, it's hard for me to kind of go along with we accomplished something mentality. I'm here for the win one more for Steph. That we got two more years to see that happen. I want to see a fifth ring for Steph Curry because, we talk about we talk ad nauseum about how great Steph is. That's been our life for the last 16 years. So, but Steph's greatness, there's generational players and then there's just all-time legends. So like, you look at guys like Damian Lillard, James Harden, those guys are generational greats. Of this generation of basketball, they're incredibly great players.
Top 75 players in history.
But you're not looking at them like in the same way as guys like Steph or LeBron, who are two of the greatest ever. And there's only a small handful of those guys. You go back to, what I define to be the start of the modern NBA, Magic and Larry, they kind of got that started. That led into Jordan, that led into Kobe, that led into LeBron, that led into Steph. These are all-time legends of the sport. They are greater than generational talents. And, I named, six names there just now. It just shows, there's so few of these all-time legends. You can't waste any of the years that you have with these guys. And
did you feel like this past year was a waste?
I think any year, this is going to be probably a harsh way to look at things, but if the goal is to get Steph Curry a fifth ring, every year that doesn't end in that is kind of a waste. And I know that's a very all or nothing approach to it that, kind of takes away from the things that did happen this year. But for me, it just goes into, I want to take advantage of the remaining window that we have with one of the greatest players in the history of this sport. This is not one of the greatest players of the last 20 years. This is one of the greatest players in the entire history of basketball ever since, James Spalding nailed that basket to the wall and said, let's see if we can make a ball into this thing. Like, that's how deep Steph's greatness goes. And I feel like that kind of ratchets up the expectations in terms of what you need to win. Now, if they don't win a fifth ring for Steph, I'm not going to say they completely failed here, but I'm going to be disappointed in a sense that, we could not see him get that last ring.
I mean, it's He's 38 years old. He's going to be 38 years old next year. By the time the playoffs roll around, if they get to the playoffs, he will have been 38
years old. It's only going to get much, much harder.
In the history of the sport, your best player, when did LeBron win that last one?
It was 5 years ago, so he was 35-ish.
35? Exactly. That's the same. Michael Jordan, I think, around the same age.
I think he was late mid-30s.
Yeah, like it's...
38 is tough.
Very difficult.
No, they're pushing up a very difficult hill. I'm not, you know, trying to gloss over that. The task ahead of them, it is monumental. They are going to try and do something that's never been done before. But when you think about it, Spadoni, Steph's entire career has kind of been a monument to something done that has never been done before. When has a point guard of his size ever just taken over this league? It's never been done before. When has a team ever run roughshod over the league, behind the three-point shot? That had never been done before until Steph Curry came along. So Steph's entire career has been built on, in a sense, making the impossible seem possible. It's another chapter in terms of just, this is the next goal. This is the next impossible thing they need to try and make possible. I'm not going to call them failures if they fall short. It's incredibly hard, but that's the task at hand here.
And the task at hand is whether or not Jonathan Kuminga can help improve this roster enough if he gets the opportunity to play, and can he help this team get to the ultimate level where they want to go, which is a championship. A lot of fans believe that. A lot of fans don't think that he could help right now. J.K., I'm sure, believes it. I think Steve Kerr wants to believe it. It's like Mulder in the X-Files. I want to believe. I want to believe in Jonathan Kuminga, but the proof is in the pudding right now, and he plays iso ball in a pass-first offense and ball movement offense, and it's tough. Who wants to join the conversation? Harsha? Am I pronouncing this correctly? Harsha in Fremont wants to join in the JK talk.
What's up, Harsha?
Harsha, good morning. You're on the Morning Roast with Spadoni and Lubman in Frischowski.
I first want to just start off with a happy Memorial Day, obviously, to all our armed forces. I mean, you know, they gave us a right to come up here and utilize our First Amendment. So happy Memorial Day to all of them.
Hell yeah.
I then wanted to go in and talk about JK. I mean, I listened to the entire Kim Kamakawi podcast yesterday, and it doesn't sound good for Jonathan Kuminga. It really didn't. And I try to listen to a podcast every time I'm on my 2 mile walk at Lake Elizabeth and Fremont, such a happy place. So what I wanted to say was, if we want to trade Kuminga, don't we want to get a lot of value back? I mean, that's, you don't have to be a CEO or a business person to know that. So I want to say that if we want to trade Kuminga, right now is a great time because his value is very high. I mean, because of that Steph injury and Kuminga came in, he was great at parts of that last series. I mean, like, he had dropped, I think, 20? He was like 14 of 16 or something from field goal. People like Jonathan Kuminga around the league. It's not that he's viewed as a bad player, but right now, with what we're trying to do and what you guys said, get Steph that fifth, I don't think it's going to be here that Kuminga finds his ceiling. I think it's going to be elsewhere. And if we think it's elsewhere, we need to get a lot of value back from him. And let's say we don't trade him now, and then we kind of wait till the trade deadline. Well, how do we ensure that what happened to Kuminga when he came back from the injury, where Steve Kerr said, hey, we're in a desperation mode and we just couldn't fit a square into a circle or a circle into a square? How do we ensure that if we trade Kuminga at the trade deadline, the person that comes in doesn't face that same obstacle and hurdle moving forward? So I think we were never a trade deadline team. Just because we did that this time with Jimmy Butler does not mean, and I think we should expect trade deadline trades to not be a thing with the Warriors franchise, and it hasn't.
That's a great point, Harsha. We're up against it. Didn't mean to cut you off there. Great stuff. And let's pick that conversation up on the other side. I honestly, Sam, I don't know what Jonathan Kuminga's value is right now. I don't think anyone truly knows, unless you're all in these league circles with the Bobby Markses of the world. He might be able to tell you, but even he might not know, because we all thought Klay Thompson's value it was a little higher than last year than when he got with the Dallas Mavericks. We thought, you know, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, the Malik Monks of the world, they thought their value was pretty high, and it feels like they almost got lowballed in a sense. So it always depends on the market with the teams. You're talking to the NFL, Major League Baseball. It all depends on that. We'll get into that on the other side. It's going to be brought to you by Lucky California.
It is. Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Nerds. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It is a payday Friday.
Oh, yes. Cha-ching!
Well, for most people here, well...
This is the worst kind of payday Friday.
For me, anyways, it's a payday Thursday.
That's true, yeah. No, this is the worst kind of payday Friday, though, Spadoni, because there's a week left of the month before rent is due.
Oh, yeah.
And that is just the worst. I'm going to spend all my rent money this next week.
Well, the first is on a Sunday, and then you get paid just 4 days after that. So you should be fine. You got 4 days in between it. You struggle for 4 days?
I guess I'll just have to take it easy on that.
I guess
bender,
you just might have to sleep at the station.
Yeah, there you go. That works.
Yeah, there you go. By the way, this segment is brought to you by Golden State, serving the Bay Area for three generations. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit GoldenStateLumber.com. Bonte Hill in studio today, 9 o'clock for the entire hour, as each and every Friday, Warriors pre and post game host and Giants pre and post game host as well. Occasionally, Bonte Hill for NBC Sports Bay Area joining us every Friday at 9 in studio. We're talking about Steve Kerr, we're talking about Jonathan Kuminga, we're talking about what the hell are the Warriors doing this summer? What should the priority be for this team? I think a lot of people say, go get a big boy, go get Giannis. I think that's a little short-sighted. I know how it ended. It wasn't fun. It didn't feel good. It left a bad taste in your mouth. But I don't think that should wash away all the good things that happened for a couple months prior to that. This team was clinging to a 10th spot in the West. You move all the way up. You had a chance to be maybe the 4 seed at one point. Just speaks to how stacked and crazy this Western Conference was. You didn't get there, but you got into the playoffs. You took out the Houston Rockets. You took out a number 2 seed in the Western Conference. I don't sleep on that. Then you took a game against the team that's currently in the Western Conference Finals, Minnesota Timberwolves, who it's not looking good for them right now, down 2-0 to the Oklahoma City Thunder. But you took a game there. Steph got hurt. And the rest was history. When you use your best player, generally, that's it. But when you
you're not going to have a good time.
You're not. But when you have hope that, oh, man, he gets coming back for Game 6, you never know. That could change the tenor of the whole series if you get to a Game 6. You couldn't get that. Jimmy Butler wasn't able to win you a game, even though I don't think it's fair to just say, hey, Jimmy couldn't win us a game because it's a team sport. How about Draymond step up offensively? How about Moses Moody? How about other guys step up offensively? Buddy Hield occasionally did, but not enough. Jonathan Kuminga tried, but it wasn't enough. So to put it all on Jimmy Butler, I'm just not buying. And now we pivot, Sam, to Jonathan Kuminga. What the hell do you do with JK this summer? That's the question right now. What do you do?
I think it's if you're Steve Kerr, you got to figure out a way to make him be a part of this team. Or if you're the Warriors, you're moving off them. It's that simple. Either there's a way to make this happen or you move off of him. If you don't think it's going to work out, don't have him on the roster next year. Don't make us go through this exercise for an entire 82-game season. I mean, it was stressful enough. I mean, what? Kuminga came back when there was how many games left in the year? He came back for the final about 16 games, something like that. And he played in 14 of those final 16 games. And it was an absolute struggle getting him worked back into the rotation because of the presence of Jimmy Butler. The Warriors see, and listening to Steve Kerr yesterday on with Willard and Dibbs, they seem to have this belief that one training camp with everyone together is all they need to kind of figure out a way to make this work and put all the puzzle pieces together. That seems like a very optimistic way of looking at things.
You don't buy that?
I kind of buy it. The thing that's
they haven't really had a chance to mesh. Like, literally, they don't.
The thing that's harder for me to buy is it's the age of this team, if we're being real. I know that kind of deviates away from this Kuminga conversation, but if we're looking just about the Jonathan Kuminga fit, if you are concerned about the age, like I am, Kuminga, I think, is a great remedy for that, seeing as he is 22 years old. To move off of a guy that young who could be that much of an asset for this team seems foolish, but at the same time, there needs to be a desire. And you know, Steve Kerr was asking, does Jonathan Kuminga want to be a Warrior? And, obviously Kerr can't answer that question for Kuminga. Only he can answer that question. And I'm sure the Warriors want Kuminga around to a degree. But, you know, he said, Steve Kerr said something in the Tim Kawakami podcast. Maybe we can play it now.
Yeah, what do you want?
Well, it's the really, really long one where he talked about,
comparing him to other players.
To Aaron Gordon and Sean Marion. And he compares him to Sean Marion, and I did like that comparison. But listen to what he says after the Sean Marion part about Aaron Gordon. And that's where it kind of felt like, to me, listening to Kerr on Kawakami's podcast, that the decision of Kuminga's future feels more or less made.
Look at you throwing a sound.
I've always felt like the type of player JK needs to be is, you know, I've mentioned this in the past, like Sean Marion is a guy who jumps out. And I talked about this JK's rookie year, you know, with his athleticism, running the floor, putting pressure on the rim, offensive rebounds, getting into the dunker, you know, the drop-off pass from drivers, going up and dunking and guarding everybody at the other end. To me, that's what he's really built for. And we've really pushed him in that direction. And I think sometimes with young players, you know, there's a process. I mean, I think Aaron Gordon is a good example. Mm-hmm. You know, he spent years in Orlando where he was, you know, he really wanted to be the scorer and the lead guy and had some success like JK has, but maybe didn't really find his role and find himself till later. And I think that's kind of the hope. I mean, you know, all these guys who come into the league are so young these days. JK came in at 18, 19. So there's a lot of growth ahead for him. I think right now, you know, he is a ball dominant player. I mean, you know, 92nd percentile in usage rate this year in the NBA. That's really high. So on a team with Steph and Jimmy, like, honestly, I mean, Steph's going to have the ball. Jimmy's going to have the ball, you know? And so the fit is tricky. There's no question. And what JK and I've talked about a lot and what we've tried to really hammer home with him is, you know, sprint the floor and rebound and be complementary to those guys. And that's how you can find your role and find more minutes. And hopefully that will, you know, that will click and we'll find that place where he can, yeah, start to do those things and rebound and get loose balls and be a high energy, you know, possession guy. Like I said, like Sean Marion, like Aaron Gordon. I think those guys are great comps, but young guys take some time to find their place, to figure out the best versions of themselves. And I think that process is still happening.
So yeah, a lot to unpack there. The first part is the Sean Marion comp, and you know, it's, you know, he last played in the league in 2015. I didn't remember a whole lot of Sean Marion's time in the
NBA.
He
was really good.
He was. And I went on the YouTube yesterday and looked up some highlights. And the first one I saw was Marion cutting to the rim for a dunk. I'm like, wow, that is like a slightly beefier Jonathan Kuminga. That is a great comp. And we've seen Kuminga in that role a lot this year. And that was when he was at his best, when he was flying around, grabbing those rebounds, cutting to the rim, laying in those dunks, you know, those Kuminga slams, air Congo, as our guy Festus likes to call it. And it's a lot of fun seeing Kuminga play that role. But at the same time, I can understand why Kuminga, being a guy who is as ball dominant, as Steve said there in that cut, would want more there. But the part for me, Spadoni, that really stuck out in what Kerr said there, it was the Aaron Gordon comp. Aaron Gordon, MIDI legend, saw him play his sophomore year, beat Las Lomas in the NCS finals. Very sad. He started off his career with the Magic, and yeah, he was solid with the Magic, but he wasn't the Aaron Gordon that we're seeing now in Denver. And it's the Aaron Gordon that we're seeing now in Denver part. Basically, what Kerr is kind of suggesting here is that whatever Kuminga wants to accomplish in his career is just not going to happen here with the Warriors. Like, he's going to have to go elsewhere to find his NBA hopes and dreams. Like, that role, that life that Kuminga wants, it's not possible here. There is a role here for Kuminga, potentially, but if Kuminga wants to be the player that Kuminga wants to be, he's going to have to go elsewhere to find it. That's how I interpreted that, is basically saying that, you know, if Kuminga does develop into that upper echelon guy he thinks he can be, yeah, it's going to have to be for a different team, whether it's the Brooklyn Nets, whether it's, you know, the Milwaukee Bucks in a potential, you know, hypothetical, theoretical Giannis trade. But it's just not going to be here. That's how I read Kerr's statement there.
I'm skeptical on this whole idea of you replace Jonathan Kuminga and automatically, no matter what, you're going to be getting a score or someone that fits the offense just infinitely better than he ever did. I am skeptical on that. That is, again, you're asking another player that hasn't played in this system potentially come on in and just work their way. It just doesn't work like that. I would rather keep a guy like Kuminga that's been here for a while that is still obviously learning. But clearly you could see the intangibles, the athleticism, the ha-ha, the ski-ski, all of it. All of that on display. Not that, that's not the end-all be-all. That's, you know, that could be 2K. It's great for highlight reels. But does it translate to wins? Because everyone's going to tell me, oh, yeah, he was great. Did it translate to any wins? Yeah, like it was his fault. The guy that was getting DNPs for the last few weeks. Yeah, oh, sorry, he couldn't come in and save them against Anthony Edwards and Julius Randle. That whole notion, I thought, was absurd.
Yeah.
And you did get the Game 3 performance between Jimmy and J.K. It was up to someone else to step up. It's a team sport.
I mean, you had Jimmy and J.K. basically carrying 8 other guys on that court who weren't producing. Exactly. You know, and like, two guys, it's, if your two guys are Steph and KD, yeah, that's enough to carry a team, because those are incredible players who are, you know, some of the greatest to ever play this game. Expecting, you know, Jimmy and Jonathan Kuminga to provide similar results there, I think that's a bit too much of an ask considering the players who they are.
I mean, you saw it yesterday. It was—
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to ExpressPros.com to find your location. That's ExpressPros.com.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.